News Radio Pensacola. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Last night, Elon Musk said that a failure to respond a second time will result in termination. Will there be additional rounds of the "What did you do this week?" email from Doge to federal workers? And what's the guidance on the federal workers who've been instructed by their agencies not to reply?
So a couple of things on this. First of all, let's just take a step back and talk about this idea. The president sent out a truth last weekend to Elon Musk saying he loves everything Elon is doing and he wants him to be even more aggressive because Doge thus far has proven incredibly successful in making our government more efficient.
So I don't mind a good context. I don't mind, you know, backing up. Let's get first principles straight. But you do need to maybe, you know, answer the question. And she will. Carolyn Leavitt being asked about the Doge emails and, you know, will there be more rounds? Are there going to be subsequent iterations? How many more times is he going to say this is your final warning? It's always a good question.
And so Elon and Doge came up with this idea. Elon has implemented this at his private companies. It has proven successful. And it's a very simple idea when you think about it. All the Office of Personnel Management is asking, all this administration is asking, President Trump is asking, is for federal workers who live off of the American taxpayer's dime to send 5 bullet points of what they have done in the previous week. That is all we are asking for.
And it is actually a fairly simple thing. And, you know, I can imagine coming into a big bloated organization where you're trying to root out, you know, all the problems. And, you know, something like this helps to give you some sense of what people do. I have kind of jokingly in my own head, you know, if somebody asked me this question, tell me 5 things you did last week. Well, I watched the TDC, and I watched the Escambia County Commission, and I watched the Milton City Council twice, and I watched the Santa Rosa County Commission. You know, I watched the governor's press conference. I watched your press conference. And then there's actually the on-air stuff, you know, 20 hours a week on the air. It's not hard. If you're working, you know, it's not hard to come up with the things that you've done particularly. But here's where this discussion starts to get a little weird. Because you remember that the first email came out and everybody was all chaos. And then there was confusion over, well, should you or shouldn't you respond to it? And then some of the other, you know, basically cabinet members said, now our agency is not doing that. You know, Pete Hegseth, for example, and a couple of other agents, Cash Patel, FBI, you know, we're not doing this. Our people are not doing this. And then there was the second email that comes out. And so there's been some, let's just say it hasn't been seamless exactly.
And so the Office of Personnel and Management sent out additional guidance last night. Those responses should be directed to agency leadership, and the president defers to his cabinet secretaries, who he's obviously entrusted, to pursue the guidance relative to their specific workforce.
Fair enough. Each person is in charge of, you know, their people. And here's where it starts to get... I'm always trying to figure out in my early relationship with a new press secretary, can I or can't I trust you? And based on the first press conference, I was pretty, you know, okay, this is going to be good. The second press conference, Now, in the third press conference,
For some of the agencies that you've seen who have said, please don't send these emails, it's in their best interest for that specific agency, and the president supports that. And let me be very clear, the president and Elon, is his entire cabinet, are working as one unified team, and they are implementing these very common sense solutions.
Okay. Bull blank. Sorry, that's... It's... Okay, it might be a very simple concept, and everybody is doing what makes sense in their department, meaning no matter what anybody does, it's the right thing to do, which is another way of saying we're all perfect. But then this last business...
And Elon, is his entire cabinet, are working as one unified team, and they are implementing these very common sense solutions.
No, they're not. They're obviously not. There's no reasonable person that looks at this particular incident and thinks, oh, yeah, they all came up with this together and worked with each other on this. Elon put out a hasty, ill-advised, preemptive strike against all the employees without thinking about whether the other members, he's not even a member of the cabinet, without thinking about whether the cabinet members needed to be involved in this. And then they came back and said, we're not in, we're not in, we're not in. And then the Office of Personnel Management had to give a directive. And I mean, they clearly didn't work together on this. And they're not in agreement about this. And so don't tell me that they are. Don't lie. This comes up again.
And we advise federal workers, unless your agency has dictated you not to, to respond to this email. In fact, I can announce that we've had more than 1 million workers who have chosen to participate in this very simple task of, again, sending 5 bullet points to your direct supervisor or manager, CCing OPM. I actually participated in myself. It took me about a minute and a half to think of 5 things I did last week. I do 5 things in about 10 minutes. And all federal workers should be working at the same pace that President Trump is working and moving.
This is all smoke. This is unrelated to anything. Although I'm glad a million have participated, and I'm glad it's easy for her to list them. It should be. But there's one more kind of, there was one more key moment in this. We'll come back to it in a second that really, it, PJ's got traffic on the 5s. PJ?
There is debris on the roadway, I-10 westbound around mile marker 20. Use caution in that area. Also scrolling over to Navarre, Whispering Pines Boulevard, all the way back to Blankenship Road. A little bit of congestion in that area. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you are 64 turning 65, or you are retiring, or you just have questions about Medicare or Medicaid, give Ricky Stewart a call. She's a good friend of mine. Her whole family does insurance. She does this one slice of helping people, you know, get onto and understand their Medicare. And if you've done insurance the traditional way your whole life, it can, I know, be a kind of a big thing that you're worried about. And you might have people harassing you almost with letters and calls, and it can feel like it's scarier than it is. It's not that scary, but helps to have somebody who can really walk you through it. Medicare Advantage, what supplement? What is Medicaid? How is it different than Medicare? Some people don't know. Some people are like, how can anybody not know that? Well, because people are busy with their lives. I mean, they are. So you have questions, give her a call. Ricky Stewart Insurance, 341-2185. Back to the White House press conference. Again, this question of, it doesn't seem like everybody's working exactly in unison on this matter. So, you know, CNN is going to ask the question.
Some of those cabinet members were caught off guard by the email.
Nobody was caught off guard.
A few departments said they were caught off guard. The FBI was, the DOJ was.
Did anonymous sources say that, or did the cabinet secretary say that?
The cabinet secretaries and others have said that they were not aware that this was happening. So I'm wondering, like, will there be a give and take tomorrow at the cabinet meeting? Is Elon Musk or the president open to any type of dialogue about who is actually in charge of the chain of command of these workers?
I would reject the premise of your question, Jeff. The cabinet secretaries have not said that. I know anonymous sources, probably career bureaucrats, have leaked that to many of you in this room. But as I said at the beginning of this press conference, everybody is working as one team, and the president respects the decisions of his cabinet secretaries to tell his staff, their staff, not to respond to that email because they did so out of interests of national security, and they don't want to obviously risk confidential information. It's pretty common sense.
Yeah, if they were all working together, they wouldn't have had to come out and say, don't answer this. It would have been built on the front end and who you sent it to. So, again, this seamless functioning unit with no discrepancies is clearly false. And CNN is calling her on it. And she's just sticking with the lie. I don't know why. It's weird because you can, you know what? There's nothing that does a better job of building credibility than acknowledging where you failed, acknowledging where you got it wrong, acknowledging weakness. Because this bluster of pretending that everything is perfect and beautiful, it all that does is set you up for failure. Now, I know that's Trump's way. He never says he's wrong. He's never apologized. And yet here he is, the president. Okay. But what kind of credibility does that give him? For an awful lot of people, lower. And same here. I want the White House press secretary. I want to have her to have credibility. I want her to be persuasive. I want to know that when she says stuff, I can trust that it's true. And I got to be honest that early on in this performance, I can't. I have to fact check it all. And I wish I didn't have to, but I do, which is frustrating. 437-1620. Oh, here, speaking of this, okay, I'll give you a perfect example, personal example. Yesterday, We covered the Gulf Coast gun story. You know, I talked about this a lot in the 5 o'clock hour and in the 7 o'clock hour. And, you know, I realized after the fact that I just wasn't super happy with the way it was. Okay. But I felt like I didn't really tell you enough of the facts of the story and what the banks had done and said and what Channel 3 and the PNJ had reported. And I really had spent most of my time just talking about what Chris Smith had said in response in his view. And the reason is, frankly, I got up in the morning. I saw he'd put the video up, and I started watching it. And so it was fresh in my head, and that's what I was reacting to. But Tanner Stewart, who is a good journalist, a friend at Channel 3, had posted some stuff on his Facebook page yesterday that I thought, you know, I didn't do enough of telling that side of the story. That, you know, for example, he wrote, I got sent out to the door in the middle of the meeting yesterday, Tuesday morning, to go check out a heavy law enforcement presence at a gun shop. Sheriff's office says gun shop inventory was being seized by a bank. Bank One says the gun shop owner was in default on a loan for more than a year. The records seem to indicate that. Bank Two says, okay, we'll take that off your hands and buy the loan from Bank Number One. Records seem to indicate that. Bank Two says gun shop owner doesn't respond to any communication or appear in court. And now he's not saying that Chris didn't, but he's saying that Bank Two says, right? And, I mean, that's what they claimed in the court documents. Bank 2 then asked judge for court order to seize $580,000 worth of inventory. Gun shop owner goes on Facebook Live and essentially says it's a big misunderstanding and the loan was in good standing the whole time, which, of course, if the loan was in good standing, then how did they get the legal order? How did they seize the guns? How did the sheriff's office cooperate, right? Court documents very clearly prove otherwise. This was outlined in my coverage yesterday. Moral of the story, according to Tanner Stewart, according to many of your kind notes, he's being sarcastic. According to many of your kind notes, I'm apparently now a raging liberal, crying, laughy emoji. Make it make sense. And then he also published the court records, the documents, and including the statement from Regions Bank responding, saying that the claim, any claim that Regions Bank made a decision based on guns or politics is not true, which is also something that we said yesterday that Chris had said in his comments about this. And so, you know, the takeaway, the only reason I'm saying this today is because I felt like after the fact I had talked about the story but hadn't really talked about the facts and the evidence of the story. I had more just talked about Chris's response to it. You know, I kind of took for granted that everybody had seen the other stuff, and maybe that was not such a great assumption. But anyway, I wanted to give you a little bit more context this morning. I don't think there's anything, you know, wicked or anything like that going on here. I don't think there's any, you know, fraud or anything like that. I just think a business where he admitted in his Facebook, he had kind of had down sales. Probably fell behind. That's a frustrating thing. Small business wants to keep doing what he's doing. They didn't do well on the loan. The loan then got sold for collection or to somebody who was more aggressive by far in pursuing it. Did they do everything right? I have no idea, but they said they tried to contact and, you know, no response. So we got where we got. I like Chris. I told you that yesterday. Would I buy guns from him or ammunition from him? I would. But I think that some of the stuff he said in that Facebook Live is probably not accurate and doesn't jibe with the evidence that Channel 3 reported. So, you know, anyway, I just felt like I hadn't given the story a really even treatment yesterday, not intentionally, but just kind of by what I had not said, and wanted to give you more facts on it today. 722, see, this is what you say. When you make a mistake or an omission or anything, admit it. You know, acknowledge it. I wish Caroline Levitt would do it. I wish Trump would do it. To me, that's credibility. When I was a teacher, it's kind of funny. I think every teacher has gotten this piece of instruction. I don't know how many follow it. We were always told in the very beginning when we were getting ready to teach, if somebody asks you a question you don't know, PJ, what do you say?
I don't know.
That's it. That's it. Say, I don't know. And I'll find out and get back to you. Because the moment you start just making the stuff up, you're toast. Because A, it's a bad practice, and B, you're usually going to get it wrong. 723 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed by anxiety? Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Did you ever notice the three levels in that verse? Thoughts, emotions, and behavior? The verse is saying that our thinking will impact our emotions or heart, and then our behavior when it says, "So is he." Our anxiety problems start with what we think about, and then impact our emotions, and then ultimately determine our behavior. I encourage you to discipline your mind to stop thinking about things that are untrue, unjust, and impure, and start thinking about things that are true and just and pure. You'll find that much of your anxiety will be gone and your emotions will be healthy, and then your behavior will be Christ-like.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Pensacola Grand Mardi Gras Parade is Saturday, beginning at 2. Join in the true showcase of community spirit and celebration. Get all the info at PensacolaMardiGras.com. Sunday is the Mardi Gras Parade with Island Atmosphere. The crew of Rex Parade rolls at 2 on Pensacola Beach. See PensacolaBeachMardiGras.com. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
That's kryptonite, Superman. A little souvenir from the old hometown. I've spared no expense to make you feel right at home.
I can't exactly tell you why. Maybe just because I wasn't thinking much about how Gene Hackman is. I mean, was quite old. In his 90s, what, 95, I think. And so it caught me very much by surprise this morning when the announcement came that he, his wife, apparently their dog, were all found on their property, deceased. The, you know, sheriff's office went, and it's not clear how they knew or who they were responding to as far as a welfare check. But, you know, you immediately have horrible thoughts, but the sheriff says no foul play, which I hate to speculate, but, you know, my own best speculation would be maybe a gas leak, maybe carbon monoxide, you know, something like that would maybe seem to, if they were all in the bedroom together, would maybe explain that. Horrible story, but an actor who, you know, God, I love Gene Hackman and so many fantastic roles throughout his career, from, you know, Superman as Lex Luthor, the clip you heard there, No Way Out. He was always the supporting character, right? Often. I mean, not always. You know, his French Connection is the lead and The Conversation is the lead, but often he was the supporting character, the, like, indispensable supporting character. You know, of course, he was the lead in Hoosiers, but I think of, like, in Get Shorty. He was just a character in a many, many great actor movie, but a crucial character in that movie. Personally, one of my top probably five Westerns of all time, Unforgiven. Great. I love that show. Enemy of the State is another one of my, like, really favorite spy movies. But also in terms of, like, military naval movies, Crimson Tide. We'll play that clip for you in just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash at Possum Ridge Road and Sparco Drive. That's over in Crestview. Roadway is clear in that area. Also dealing with a little bit of congestion, Whispering Pines Boulevard back to Blankenship Road in Navarre. So just use extra caution this morning. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Somebody says, what about in the firm? Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I agree. Let's see. The Crimson Tide, which is, everybody knows Hunt for Red October. I think a lot of people don't know Crimson Tide. Crimson Tide is a great movie with Denzel Washington and Gene Hackman. It has to do with, you know, command and control aboard a nuclear sub, you know, and what are you going to do when there's an emergency? And is he, you know, roughshod, oppressive captain, or is he the right one anyway?
Those sailors out there are just boys. Boys who are training to do a terrible and unthinkable thing. If that ever occurs, the only reassurance they'll have that they're doing the proper thing is going to derive from their unqualified belief in the unified chain of command. That means we don't question each other's motives in front of the crew. It means we don't undermine each other. It means in a missile drill, they hear your voice right after mine without hesitation. Do you agree with that policy, sailor?
Absolutely, sir.
We're here to preserve democracy, not to practice it.
Ugh, such a great line. And I love that movie, even though as an Auburn fan, the title Crimson Tide isn't going to be my favorite thing ever. But the, the movie itself is great. David Wayne is in the newsroom with some headlines for us. David?
Well, Israel is releasing 600 Palestinian prisoners in exchange for the bodies of four dead Israeli hostages. Hamas gave the bodies over to the Red Cross in Gaza overnight as part of the Israeli ceasefire agreement. Buses carrying the prisoners were seen leaving a prison in the West Bank. The Department of Agriculture says it'll be investing $1 billion to try to stop the spread of the bird flu and to bring egg prices down. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins wrote in the Wall Street Journal yesterday that it's a part of a five-part strategy that includes upgrades at poultry farms and financial relief to farmers that have been affected by the outbreak. And a Colorado woman's been accused of trying to plant explosives at a Tesla dealership. This happened about 50 miles north of Denver. The woman, 40-year-old Lucy Nelson was her name. She apparently showed up at the dealership with incendiary devices.
Are you sure? Because the way I heard the story is that she just showed up with a bag of water balloons and she was throwing them on the batteries. Too soon?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Police say no foul play is suspected in the death of actor Gene Hackman, found dead with his wife Betsy Arakawa and their dog at home in New Mexico. Hackman was 95.
How many times are we going to pass before we shoot? How many? Four.
That's kryptonite, Superman. Little souvenir from the old hometown.
Hackman there in Hoosiers and Superman. Fired or on leave federal employees at the U.S. Agency for International Development get 15-minute windows today and tomorrow to clear out their D.C. headquarters workspace and leave.
The Trump administration is cutting USAID staff, reviewing and terminating agency contracts, and folding the American Aid Organization into the State Department. Last night, Chief Justice John Roberts temporarily sided with the administration and determined USAID could hold off paying about $2 billion for aid work already completed. The full court is expected to weigh in on that soon.
Fox is Rich Edson. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. 59 degrees now. Partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola today. And the Mardi Gras parade is rapidly approaching this Saturday. One thing to be aware of, Bayfront Parkway will be closed about an hour before that parade begins. And that's going to be all the way from Wahoo Stadium to Veterans Memorial Park.
If you park in the Commandantia lot over by the ferry landing, for example, you're not going to have to wait until the street sweepers are done to go to exit on Bayfront and get out onto 9th Avenue, Gulf Breeze, et cetera. Palafox will continue to be blocked off, you know, because that's where they're sweeping the street. But, you know, I think there's going to be some egress after immediately following the parade, not waiting for the street sweepers, which could be several hours after that.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves, he says anybody who wants to park south of Bayfront will need to get downtown several hours before the parade starts. He also said there will be a 3-block perimeter around the parade route, which will be closed to traffic several hours before that parade. Well, bears are apparently becoming overpopulated in Florida. Officials say the number of bears in the state has grown significantly to more than 4,000 over the last 25 years, and they're considering a statewide bear hunt.
A regulated hunt, if carefully controlled, can be a responsible tool for managing the bear population. It can reduce overcrowding, which helps prevent both bear and human harm.
That's the FWC's Gary Lester. Now, if that hunt were to be approved, it'd be the first one since 2015. There's about 120 bears that are known in Northwest Florida. The state's expanding its partnership with ICE to stop illegal immigration. The governor announcing yesterday he's given all 67 county sheriffs across the state the authority to act as federal immigration agents. That would allow deputies to enforce immigration laws in the course of their regular duties. The governor said if all states did that, the problem with illegal immigration would go away fast. SpaceX with a pair of launches overnight, one of them carrying Intuitive Machines' new lunar lander, Athena. That should land on the moon in the next week.
3, 2, 1, mission, and liftoff. Go, Falcon, go, Intuitive Machines.
Athena is the company's second lunar lander. Its job is to help find water on the moon. Their first one was Odysseus, that touched down on the moon's south pole over a year ago now. Republican Congressman Byron Donalds is running for governor. That announcement was officially made yesterday, and he's getting the endorsement from President Trump. Barry University's Sean Foreman says other candidates are likely to get involved in the race soon. One that's widely expected is Governor Ron DeSantis' wife, Casey DeSantis.
She's going to run for this election. She's going to have to gear up and make that announcement pretty soon before Donalds gets all the momentum and all the attention and becomes a really strong front runner.
And on the Democrat side, there's no clear choice yet, but some early possibilities include party chair Nikki Fried, Miami-Dade Mayor Danielle Levine-Cava, and State Senator Jason Pizzo. 7:35, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
This traffic update brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. Taking a look at the big board, vehicle crash at Possum Ridge Road and Sparco Drive in Crestview. Roadway is clear there. Also have some congestion from Whispering Pines Boulevard all the way back to Blankenship Road running through Navarre there, so just use extra caution in that area. Looking at the front gate of NAS Pensacola, Navy Boulevard, everything's looking good. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at some clouds throughout the day today. 20% chance of a stray sprinkle, otherwise cloudy skies, high near 72. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 48. For Friday, we will have sunny skies, high near 68 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 48 degrees. On Saturday, looking at some sunny skies with a high near 70 and a low near 50 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 59 degrees in Pensacola, 56 reported Gulf Breeze, 50 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Chip giant NVIDIA has flagged heightened competition from Huawei, despite U.S. restrictions on the Chinese telecommunications company. Since 2019, the U.S. has restricted Huawei's ability to access technology from American suppliers, from advanced 5G chips to Google's Android operating system. CNBC reports a March meeting of vaccine advisors to the FDA has been canceled without explanation. The meeting of the Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee is held every March to pick select flu strains for shots released in the upcoming fall and winter. Shares of Japan's 7&I Holdings plunged more than 12% after the company said the founding family had failed to secure the financing needed to buy out the convenience store operator. This translates to a loss in market cap of over $5 billion. Futures are moderately higher. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 188, the NASDAQ up 48. That's Your Money Now.
Ladies, do you want to feel more connected to our community? Consider joining Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded 165 grants totaling more than $17 million in our community. Connect with other women and increase your area impact. Membership deadline is March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit Impact100Pensacola.org.
Ever have one of those days where your gut just feels blah?
Ugh. Yes.
Occasional bloating or gas could be signs that your gut is out of balance, but Align Probiotic can help. Align 24/7 Digestive Support is a daily use probiotic with a unique strain to help relieve occasional digestive issues. It's the number one doctor recommended brand. So when you feel the signs, it's time to try Align. Align Probiotic. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
To Chief Randall and his team on reaccreditation at PPD. They've earned reaccreditation for the 911 communications and the law enforcement operations. And accreditation standards provide norms against which agency performance can be measured and monitored over time. So it's good for 3 years, so congratulations. Of course, to Chief Randall and his entire team to continue to have those exemplary achievements out there.
Yeah, every couple of years I have to go through this process, and it's always good to have it officially recertified. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. You don't want to say it's a big deal because it's kind of a formality, but, you know, there was a time when it didn't happen, mostly through kind of paperwork, you know, kind of stuff, not anything substantial, but it's always good to get reaccredited, right?
Yeah, it kind of is a big deal to us. I mean, there's a lot of departments that are not accredited. Being accredited has many benefits, but basically to break those down, there's lots of benefits. You know, an department can say that they train, that they have policies and procedures, they do this, they do that, but accreditors come in and make sure that is the case and make sure that we're up to par and so is our training, our equipment, our personnel is doing what they're supposed to be doing. And we've been accredited solidly since 2018. And like you said, we got it again now, so which will be good for 3 years. And it wasn't just the police department itself. It was also our dispatchers. So you've got a lot of professionals up there that are answering the phone calls that our citizens are calling in every day.
And by the way, when I say not a big deal, what I mean is, and I certainly see why, all I mean is, like, I expect you to. You know what I mean? Like, I just expect that it's going to be the case. It would be a big deal if it didn't happen. So it's not surprising. But, yes, it is absolutely a good achievement, and I'm proud of you guys for being able to get that again, as you have done so many times in the past. Let's talk about traffic, because I know that is on everybody's mind. Coming up with the parade this Saturday and Friday night, the biggest change, the one that has got me the most worried about what's going to happen traffic-wise is, of course, as we said many times, if Main and Bayfront are closed from Wahoo Stadium all the way to Veterans Memorial Park, all the east-west traffic is going to have to find another way, Cervantes. All the people like me, the mayor correctly called me out on this, I had admitted it anyway, that I like to come in about 40 minutes before the parade. I like to park down somewhere near the port or the, you know, backside of the Plaza de Luna, that kind of vicinity, and then, you know, New World Landing area or Old New World Landing area. And then when the parade is done, you know, my part of it, I like to get in my car and go. Can't do that this year. But my understanding is that there's some flexibility here that we might not have known about, particularly on Cedar Street. Because that had my thought is, why not just use Cedar Street as a workaround? You could protect the intersection of Palafox and Main without actually closing it off. But you tell me there's some more to this story, right?
Yeah, so if you're going to park where you mentioned, you can still do that. Just get there an hour ahead. Mm-hmm. You'll still be permitted to do that. But there's been a lot of anxiety about this change, especially Main Street. So I'm here to answer those questions, so let not your heart be troubled. If you are coming in from the west, we will get you to your destination. We know we have residents like at Port Royal. We have business owners. We have customers that want to go to these businesses south of Palafox. And when you come to an officer that has a closure on Main Street, if you let that officer know exactly where you're going, then we will get you to your destination. It may not be the fastest route that you're used to taking, because if you're coming in from the west, we will send you down Cedar Street to Palafox Place. If you're coming in from the east, we will send you down Commandencia to get to your destination. But we're going to get you there. The key is to get there as early as possible. So people who work there and who live there, we're going to get that taken care of for you.
Okay, so there is going to be what I would call local access for residents, business owners, shoppers, The whole south of Maine, that whole kind of peninsula area, is not going to be 100% closed off. It's going to be at the discretion of the officers on either side of those barricades. Is that kind of the right way to think of it?
Yes, just let the officer know where you're going. Now, what's not going to work is if you come in from the west, like from Barrancas or Pace, and you're trying to get on the bridge. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
It's going to be much faster if you just take Pace to Cervantes or go up A Street to Cervantes and then come back down 9th Avenue or go to 17th Avenue to cross the bridge. Through traffic will not be permitted, but local traffic, when you tell the officer where you're going, it will be permitted. Now, if you decide to tell the officer that you're going to South Palafox, but you change your mind and you want to go across the bridge, you're going to get turned around on the other side.
Which
so,
is, I assume that's why you have,
work out too well for you.
I assume that's why you have the one street one way and the other street the other way, is to control that. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So the kind of on the map that we've got up on our Facebook page that you guys have also put out, the sort of south of Maine green zone is some access to that based on individual judgment. And then once you're down in that area, of course, you can drive. What about leaving that area? I had somebody ask me, if I live down there, will I be able to leave even after Maine and Bayfront are closed? Or somebody had asked me about, I work at the fish house and I get off at 4. The parade may not be over by then. What about me? What's your answer for those folks?
Yeah, we're going to get them out. We're going to get them to where they need to go. The people that are watching the parade, Main Street will be the first one open. Main Street is not supposed to have throws or the moon pies and the beads and the debris on the roadway that we have to keep it closed down so the street sweepers can do their job. Main should not have any of that on there, so it should be opened up. The first street opened up after the parade, which should be within 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay. So
maybe faster than that. It all depends on the debris or lack thereof.
What time is that? What time does the parade usually get done at, like, last float through getting to Palafox and Maine? Is that, like, 5, 4? I don't really know.
I'm not going to touch that, and the reason for that is because this year's parade is going to be bigger. There are more floats. A lot of times there are gaps in the parade that we try to prevent. There's lots of reasons why this parade could end at one time one year and an hour later the next.
Okay.
So, you know, I like to say three and a half hours, but I'm not going to do that.
Okay. So you'll know when it's done. You'll know it when you see it. No, and I appreciate that. That's an honest and accurate answer. So I wouldn't want you to make a promise that you can't justify. We're talking to Mike Wood, a public information officer for PPD. Hang on for just a second. Mike, PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. There is a vehicle crash at Possum Ridge Road and Sparko Drive. That is over in Crestview. Roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Mike Wood with the Pensacola Police Department. Anything else? You know, you've heard my conversations, of course, with DC about this. You've heard me talking about it. And you and I have talked about this now twice. Anything else about the parade Saturday that you want to make sure people know in advance to kind of mitigate against some of the problems that will come from people not knowing what's going on?
Yes, the perimeter is being pushed back as it's been shown on the map. So you have people that live down there that normally let people come to their home to park and to go to the parade route that may be closed off this year. The same thing applies to them. Just let the officer know that has that intersection blocked that you live there or that you're going to visit someone that lives there, and they're going to get you to where you need to go. We're just having to, once the parade starts, before actually to install the perimeter, the barricades, we just have to close those streets down. But if you live there, again, we're not going to keep you from going to your homes.
Gotcha. And I thought the mayor's note yesterday that the angled parking that people often park their trucks on west of Plaza Ferdinand is not going to be available to park on, because no parking anywhere along the parade route, those cars will get towed, right?
Yeah, and you know, the signs have been up for several days on the parade route. That's something that we cannot tolerate for obvious safety reasons,
right?
And those vehicles will be towed. So, if you're parking there and you think you're going to be just a minute and you end up having a few drinks and you take a cab home, that's going to be a problem. We're going to have to tow that vehicle, and it's going to be at your expense. So please do not park on the parade route.
Great, great, good advice. And also, just because I just want to make sure, if you weren't listening to all the coverage we've done on this, people have wondered, well, if I can't get into the perimeter, what about walking? Oh, yeah, pedestrians, of course. I mean, you know, we're going to have 100,000 people on the parade route. So,
yeah.
You know, pedestrians are fine. Let's talk about some
it's going to be a beautiful day.
No, it's going to be fun. It's always
gonna be a beautiful day.
It's a great show.
Parade. So, yeah, get there early and go find your spot and have a great time this weekend.
We had an incident at the airport where somebody tried to force their way through TSA. What happened here?
Yeah, that was last Friday. An individual approached TSA and then tried to force his way through there. Fortunately, the TSA and there was a Pensacola police officer that works at the airport was close, and they took that individual into custody without further incident. That's something that's taken very seriously for obvious reasons. So fortunately, he did not get onto the concourse, because if that happens, there's a whole lot of other protocol that's in place, and it will cause lots of delays. So he was taken care of before he was able to breach that area.
I mean, did you, I know, a device, a weapon, just mental illness? He was agitated because he was late. Do we know, like, what was the reason?
No, there were no weapons or anything like that. And okay, as far as the reason goes, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, all right. Also, I guess there was some kind of an incident that took place at the, we always call it the old medical facility. I thought it was a hospital, but the giant abandoned building on Palafox that is just a nasty, massive eyesore, perimeter fenced off with portable fencing or whatever. But you guys caught some folks inside of it?
Yeah, two Pensacola police officers on routine patrol noticed two individuals in that perimeter, inside that fenced-in area. They took them into custody and found about 40 pounds of precious metals that were stripped from the building on them, as well as burglary tools. So they were charged accordingly.
Wow. Okay. So they're in there looking for copper pipes or whatever it is, and they found some, and we found them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's good police work right there.
Yeah. And, no kidding.
But yeah, that's it's been a problem before. A lot of a homeless being in there, but I don't. This is the first time that I'm aware of theft, or, you know, that's a burglary is what that is.
Yeah.
Occurred. So we are keeping an eye on that building, and you know, it's a shame that people do things like that, but it is what it is, and hats off to our patrol units for finding those individuals and taking them into custody.
Yeah, was that you may have said it and I missed it, but was that we saw them, saw lights inside, or did somebody report them? Or how we got into looking for them in the first place? Do you know?
No, the officers were on routine patrol and noticed them inside the perimeter.
What? You mean eyes on the street actually prevents crimes? Look at that. That's, you know, that's the best way to prevent crime, right?
Yes, sir.
Outstanding. You know, I haven't asked you about this in a while. I haven't heard much in the news about ShotSpotter. I know, I guess, the sheriff's office is in the process of asking for, you know, funding to re-up that. I think we're 2 years in, something like that. Has ShotSpotter been used much recently?
Yes, it's been very useful to us. It's resulted in several calls that we may not have gotten without it, and that just happened again Sunday night. There was a shot fired in the 1800 block of North F Street, and officers arrived and found a shell casing there, and they also ended up locating the suspect and arrested him. The firearm and a felony amount of marijuana were also confiscated. So, yeah, the system works really well, and again, nobody was hurt here, so chances are we probably wouldn't have gotten a call on it.
Right. Wow, that's great. I mean, that's terrible that it happened, but do we know anything about why the shot was fired? I mean, obviously, you find somebody with a possession of drugs, you can infer, but do we know anything about what happened?
No, I don't have the reason why he did that, but we're just glad that nobody was hurt.
Yeah, and I mean, we had this story that Chip was telling us about with the, you know, there was a fight over some marijuana in McDavid and wound up somebody getting shot and killed. And, you know, what's the thing that all of you guys have always said the same thing as long as I've lived here, which is if you want to avoid violence, stay out of the drug business, right?
Yeah, if you're going to get into the illegal drug business, you can count on something like that happening to you. That's why it doesn't happen to people that are not in the illegal narcotics business most of the time. Occasionally, there's a stray bullet, but that doesn't happen very often. So, if you're going to play with illegal narcotics, you're gonna end up dead or in prison sooner or later. That's unfortunately the way it is.
Yeah, I know. Sheriff Morgan used to always say, basically, you know, if you don't hang around with the wrong people and you don't do the wrong things, your chances go way up. You know, that's most likely. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew this, but it used to be a second degree or a third degree felony if you killed a police dog. And in Florida, that changed in 2019. Killing a police dog is now a second degree felony and can result in up to 15 years in prison. It was strengthened in 2019 after the death of a canine during a carjacking incident in Jacksonville, Florida. So this also applies not only to police dogs, but police horses. and fire department search and rescue dogs as well.
Hmm. Well, good. And, you know, I just from talking to cop friends, I tell you, the level of protection emotionally that they have for these canines and these horses is it's robust. Is that a fair way to say it, Mike?
Absolutely. They have four legs instead of two, but they're all the same. They're just like us. And the penalties should be the same.
Cherished family members, members of the operation. Pensacola Police Department spokesman, Public Information Officer Mike Wood. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. We look forward to getting the information out to all the listeners, especially regarding the parade on Friday and Saturday. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Everybody come down this weekend. Have a great time. It's good talking to you.
Absolutely. 754 on News Radio 92.3. If you are a company, you've got to do benefits. You've got to do health and dental and vision and life and disability insurance. You've got to manage payroll, HR. These are all things that most likely you didn't get into business excited to do. In fact, it's kind of like, you know, you grow your business, you get more employees, and all of a sudden you got to handle all this stuff. And it can be a nightmare. I mean, it can be frustrating and irritating, and it's not what you love. You love to do what you do, not that stuff. Well, guess what? There are some people out there who love the stuff you don't love. Torgerson Causey, they're good at it. They enjoy it. They're weird like that. And I mean that as a compliment because you want that. You know, you want your insurance people to love doing insurance, and they do. And they're really good at it. We've been using them here at Cat Country and News Radio for about 4 years now. And I'll tell you, when they came on board, we got options and choices we didn't have before, better options and choices than we had before, better customer service, quite frankly, you know, more details, answer our questions. And even to the point where my engineer wife, who likes to ask a lot of questions, loves them, thinks they're great. And it's very hard to get her endorsement on like insurance agents because we've had others that are not as great. And these guys are fantastic. Torgerson Causey, 20 years plus operating in the local area. I think it's probably more like 25 now. Anyway, 433-9996 is the phone number. Or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. We got traffic on the fives now with PJ. PJ?
Thanks, Andrew. There is a vehicle crash at North Old Palafox Highway at West Oakfield Road in Pensacola. No roadblock in that area. I-10, 110, looking really good. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Guys, ever had a bad experience in the bedroom that totally threw you off? It messes with your head, your confidence, and suddenly it's all you can think about. Next thing you know, you're avoiding trying altogether because the fear of failure is just too much. That's where Wave Men's Health comes in. Their providers have been helping men overcome ED and providing hope even when the pills and other treatments have failed. Their proven personalized treatments have some of the highest success rates out there. No awkwardness, no judgment, just real results that bring back your confidence and that connection. It's important to get your ED treated quickly so that it doesn't get harder to treat down the road. Wave Men's Health has treatments that online pharmacies only dream about. Tonight is your night for intimacy and connection. Call Wave Men's Health today at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is discreet and could be the start of something incredible. 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. And let's make tonight unforgettable. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right, gentlemen. He's got one barrel left. When he fires that, take out your pistols and shoot him down like the mangy scoundrel he is.
7:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. That is my once every 6 months playing Bruce Springsteen to make my boss happy because she is a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Now, Elon Musk says U.S. efforts to prevent Ebola have been restored. Musk was at President Trump's cabinet meeting yesterday.
With USAID, one of the things we accidentally canceled very briefly was Ebola, Ebola prevention.
He insisted that that funding had been quickly restored with no interruption after the mistake was discovered.
Is it just me, or is it weird that he's, like, laughing about it? Ha, 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 ha. We temporarily canceled Ebola prevention.
You know, I was watching the meeting. He is just a very awkward.
He is a weird dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he may get very productive results, but, yeah, kind of a strange dude. Yeah, but that's, you know, if you do massive wildfire and, you know, flamethrower and chainsaw cuts, you're going to cut some things you shouldn't.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and